The way the devil deceives us is our mind is led astray from simple, pure devotion to Jesus Christ. It gets taken up with some other thing, not with evil things. I mean, if the devil gives you something evil, there are evil things the devil offers us, like telling lies and stealing and lusting after women and all that. But there's no deception. There's no deception there at all. It's obvious. You see the devil asking you to do something which your conscience tells you is wrong. Where's the deception there? Zero. It's when we are doing so many things which we know are absolutely right, and we are zealous, and it's just that we have cooled off in our devotion to Christ. And that can happen in a church after some years, and it can happen to a Christian after some years. And so, if we are not careful, if we don't keep checking ourselves, it can happen to you. Please remember this. And if you have lost that, say you've lost the most important thing in the Christian life. It is the most important thing. The most important thing is not coming to church regularly. It's not even reading the Bible regularly. It's not praying always. It's not witnessing. The most important thing in the Christian life, I hope I can impress this upon your heart strongly, is personal devotion to Christ every single day. And I believe it should increase in our life all the time. It's like when a couple get married, as I said, if they're only looking forward to a comfortable life or looking forward to sex and things like that, it's not a good marriage. Any worldly marriage will be like that. A good Christian marriage is where they are devoted to Jesus and devoted to one another. They love one another deeply. And I often ask married couples this question. Do you love each other today more than you did on the day you got married? If not, your marriage is going the wrong direction. I don't care whether you had enough money to build a house and you earned enough to take care of your family. Those things are not the main thing. Do you love your wife more than you did on the day you married her? Do you love your husband more than you did on the day you married her? It's a very important question. It's a way any married couple here can check up on your own life. Don't just be satisfied that we don't fight with each other, we don't quarrel with each other. No, if your marriage is healthy, you'll really love one another, because that's the main thing Jesus said should characterize a marriage. Apply that to our relationship with Christ. I go to church regularly. It's not the important thing. I read the Bible regularly. No. Is your personal devotion to Christ today more? Do you love to talk to Him? Do you love to spend time with Him? If you don't love to talk to your marriage partner, you don't love to spend time with him or her, it's pretty obvious you don't love them. Do you really long to talk to Jesus? Any waking moment you say, if you're free from other things, see, I want to spend some time with the Lord. I love Him. I want Him to know that I love Him. So, when it says here that the devil led Eve astray in the Garden of Eden from devotion to Christ, I mean, Jesus was there in the second person of the Trinity, even there. And in God's mind, He was already Jesus Christ. So, that tree of life which the devil led Eve astray from represents devotion to Jesus Christ. So this is the one verse that interprets in the New Testament what the tree of life meant. There you read it as tree of life and you don't know what it symbolizes. Here is the one verse in the New Testament that teaches us what it symbolizes. What the devil led Adam and Eve astray from was devotion to Jesus Christ, which is the tree of life. And that is the tree of life today. And if the devil succeeds in leading you away from devotion to Jesus Christ to anything else, that's the same mistake that Adam made in the Garden of Eden. Because when you think of a tree of knowledge of good and evil, have you ever thought of that? What is wrong in knowing good and evil? Is doing evil, I understand, is wrong. But knowing good and evil, is there anything wrong in that? Why did God say to Adam, in the day you partake of this knowledge of good and evil, you will die? You need to understand that. When our children are small, they don't know what is good and evil. They even put stones and mud in their mouth. They don't know what is good and what is evil. As they grow up, they begin to learn what is good and evil. But that's not the most important thing that we want our children to learn. We want them to learn in a home anyway, love and submission to their parents. Not just what is good and what is evil. Not just getting 100% in math and science. No. So in the same way, there's a lot of knowledge of good and evil which can satisfy us. Knowledge of doctrine, for example, I feel it is possible that many of us could be satisfied that we hear truth here which people don't hear in many churches. I've met numerous people around the world tell me, Brother Zach, we're so happy to be able to go to the internet and hear you and learn so many things. And I find that they don't join a local church there. We have a local church there, but they don't want to come there. They're not interested in personal devotion to Christ. They're just interested in listening to good messages. And I want to ask you, are you a person who just likes to listen to good messages that challenge you, particularly if it is an intellectually stimulating type of message? I think Paul may have been more intellectually stimulating than Peter. Peter was an unlearned fisherman. But they both loved Jesus. The important thing is not knowledge of good and evil. The important thing is not even to be stirred by a message. The important thing in the Christian life is to be devoted to Jesus Christ. Never, never forget that, and I'm never tired of emphasizing it. It's a thing in which I have tried to preserve myself all these years in the midst of all other ministry and writing and everything else I do. I say, Lord, all these things are useless if I don't preserve myself in a fervent love for you, and if I'm not a worshiper, if I'm not taken up with you. A worshiper of Christ, we can say, is one who's taken up with Jesus. Nothing else interests him, not even his ministry, not even what he does, not what people think of him. It means nothing. You know, when two lovers, husband and wife, really love each other, they don't really care what others think of them. Are you like that? Can you honestly say that you live before Jesus in such a way that the opinion of others in the church doesn't really bother you? Consider that seriously, because when the Lord spoke to the elder in Ephesus, he said, "You have fallen." Listen to this, Revelation chapter 2. What all does he have? Verse 2 and 3, deeds, toil, hard work, perseverance, cannot endure evil people, test the false teachers, expose them, persevere, endure for the name of Jesus, not grown tired. And such a person is a fallen Christian. He's a backslider. Who would ever call a person who has all the qualities in 2 and 3 as a backslider? I don't think you would consider yourself a backslider if you had the qualities of 2 and 3. With all your activity for the Lord, and going here and doing there, and some of you are going to different meetings and helping people and doing so much in this building. Yes, you could be a backslider. You could be a thorough backslider. Fallen from the place where the Lord wants you to be, and fallen so badly that the Lord says you've got to repent. And if you don't repent, what is that? To come back to your first devotion to Christ, which I'm sure all of you had when you were first born again. Think of those days when you were not known, you were not respected, and you just loved the Lord because He had forgiven your sins. But now so many activities have taken the place of that. And He says, if you don't repent, the danger is, He says, I'll take away that anointing from your life. The moving of the Holy Spirit in your life will disappear. And it has already happened to a number of people where the anointing of the Holy Spirit that makes everything fresh in their Christian life is gone. It's become a stale routine. Just like in many marriages, where that fervent love they had for each other is gone, and now it's just a dull routine every day. The husband and wife are bored to talk to each other, etc.